So tonight, I have a very special guest I want to introduce to the church. He has been here before, no stranger to our church, but really maybe a stranger to some of you. His name is Denver Ayers, and Denver has been a long-standing friend of mine. I've actually known Denver longer than his wife has known him. Now, I met Denver way back in England in 1996, 96 and 7, when he was a young, single military guy. And before marriage and before children, BC, right? BC. And Denver came, really just turned his life around, dedicated himself, left the military, went to Bible college, entered full-time ministry, and has been in full-time ministry ever since. And so he is here tonight. His family's not far from here. Well, actually, Jenny, your family's in Florida. Your family's way up in Indiana. God love you. Denver's here tonight. And so I've asked him to come and bring the word of God. So would you please make Pastor Denver Ayers welcome as he comes.
Amen. Amen. I'm so glad to be here. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Brother Steve, you said you had a Chloe and a Callie? Man, great minds. I have a Chloe and a Callie. And a Carly. So, you have a Carson. There we go. Amen. A Chloe, a Callie, and a Carly. I love it. Amen. Well, listen, tonight, can look like a kooky title, but the real reality of a really real faith. And the day and age in which we live in a day and age when I believe that the reality of our faith is being tested like never before. I know your pastor shared with you and your pastors have shared with you that culture is changing so quickly. It's changing at such a high velocity, and we're seeing ministry struggle. We're seeing Christians trying to define what is real Christianity in this age and culture in which we live. The church is failing. The country is struggling. What is church? What is real church? What is real Christianity? And tonight I just want to look at a passage. We'll look at the first 13 verses of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. And he says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And God's church said, Amen. Amen. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Verse 6 says, The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." And really, I mean, we need the Holy Spirit's guidance and understanding today more than ever. Look at verse 8. "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." And all God's people said, "Amen." "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Verse 11 is a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." And that's powerful. And then verse 12 says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." Amen, church? What a tremendous truth. Listen to this quote. I love this. Someone has wisely said that true Christian behavior is not a means to an end. So we don't behave. We don't try to learn all we can about Christian behavior so that we are what we need to do in the faith so we can behave a certain way to get to an end. That's not Christianity. The truth is, it is the expression of reality of who we really are and who God is. We act like Christians because of the love of Jesus Christ pouring through us. He motivates our behavior. Amen? So I want you to consider a couple things. First of all, if we consider Christ and his ministry, you know the famous verse, John 3:16. You want to say it with me? Let's go. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen? So when we think about the real reality of a really real faith, we look to Jesus Christ, and the basics are the basis, and the basics of our faith is the fact that Jesus came to live and to die for us. Amen? Now, if we consider our ministry, in Christ. We know what He did for us. We know that God gave His only begotten Son. Amen. What are we to do? Well, I like 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. You know, Paul's telling young Timothy, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's the real reality of our faith. That we're going to suffer persecution. And the more the world changes, and the more the world moves in a direction that is certainly not friendly to those things that are of the faith, we understand that we're going to suffer, because as we shine brighter and as the world moves darker, we're going to suffer. We are. That's the real reality of our faith. Paul is explaining to Timothy that it's the reality of ministry. Paul is instilling in young Timothy the doctrine here of discipleship. Amen? I love discipleship. He's trying to invest into this young man, and we see it here. He's investing in him, and he's telling him, listen, the reality of our faith is we are going to suffer. We're as we stand, and as the world moves, we stand firm. 1 Corinthians 15:58, read that. As we stand firm in Christ and as the world moves, we're going to suffer. Discipleship, though, understand the eyes of God as we grow in our faith, as Paul's investing in people, go on and invest in others. We understand that as we invest in others, this is God's command. But I want to tell you, discipleship is just as important as salvation in the eyes of God. Sometimes that floors Christians. When I share with them that, listen, discipleship is just as important. We don't just go out and lead people to Christ and leave them. We go out, win people to the Lord, and then we're to invest in them. We're to walk beside them, and we're to train them and equip them for the reality of faith. And we need to understand that. So Paul focuses on several key points of action I want to look at tonight. Here's the first one. It is this. Timothy was to be a servant. Everybody say, I'm a servant. We're servants. Look at, and first of all, I would say, in servants, we're servants of grace. Look at verse 1, chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In this passage leading up to our text, Paul expresses his disappointment. And the passages leading up to our text, Paul, he shares the disappointment and the growing apostasy in the churches in Asia. And you know, the definition of apostasy is the abandonment of a previous loyalty. We think about America and what we've stood for and where we've come from. We've had a certain loyalty to the things of God, have we not? We absolutely have. And I think of Paul, he wrote this letter and God preserved it and he's given it to us for the day and age in which we live. And we too, like Paul, can grieve over the apostasy, the abandonment of a previous loyalty that we see going on in our midst. And as it's spreading through Asia, Paul turns to young Timothy and he says, my son, be strong in the grace. Amen. No matter how vile it gets, we minister grace in a difficult age. You know, grace is receiving things that we don't deserve, and we're to go out and give people things they don't deserve. We didn't deserve it, and we're so thankful that we have it, Jesus Christ. And we go out and we give people Jesus Christ. Difficulties, our own weaknesses, fears, negative attitudes, even the unfaithfulness of others should not determine our course of action in this life. It doesn't matter what happens and how far the world moves. We're going to stay loyal to Christ and we're going to stand firm and we're going to do it with a sense of wonder and awe of the grace that abounds through us. We got to be strong in the grace that God has given to each one of us. And we're to battle from a platform of victory. Amen, church? Where we battle from, where you are right now, I don't care what difficulty you've gone through. I don't care what difficulty you are going through. We have experienced the grace of God, forgiveness. Amen. I don't care what sin there is. If you confess it to God, He will forgive you. And we battle from a platform of victory. God has already provided everything we need to kick some demonic tail. Amen. I mean, give it to the devil. Not in our own strength, he'll turn it back on us. But I battle not from my own failures and weaknesses, because they abound. I mean, I am a sinner saved by grace. You know it's true. You are too. And yet, despite my failures, and despite my failings, and despite sometimes I feel it's so easy for me just to get derailed. I feel like there's times I'm so strong, and God has done so much, and then in the midst of all that, I get sidetracked. You know what I'm talking about tonight, church? And yet God says, let me tell you something, you're ministering grace to people. Be strong in the grace of God. Understand, I know who you are, I love you, and I want you to go out, not in your failures, but in what I've done for you, my victory. That's the platform that we go and we battle from. Not only was Timothy to be a servant of grace, but also a servant of the word. Look at verse 2 in our text. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Look at verse 15. While you're there, just skip ahead to verse 15. I love this, right? "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're to go out and to rightly divide the word of truth. Listen, all truth is God's truth. And if all truth is God's truth, I don't go out in my own flesh. I go out in the power of the word. And I am to study it, that I may be able to rightly discern it in the age in which I live, so that I may just plead the case of Christ, defend the cause of Christ, and be able to maybe, hopefully, persuade others to give their life to Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. That is our calling. The Word. We're to know it. Now you tell me right now, and I know it's your pastor's heart, I know every minister preaching around the country, as we say, listen, it's great people get saved, and it's great people are coming to church, but our heart, the heart of a true servant of Christ, a true follower of Christ, is to see people grow in the Lord. That's what we want. Discipleship is just as important, that we may know the Word and go out and rightly defend it and minister it in the grace of God. Timothy was to be a servant of grace, of the word. You know, I know this, apart from Christ, I'm a miserable soul. You agree with me? You identify with me, don't you? We're miserable. But in Christ, I've been a part of seeing a lot of things in my ministry. I'm an old farm boy. My dad was a farmer. My mom's still a hippie. She's Woodstock. My dad's farm. I want to talk about a conflict of interest. Amen. And they divorced when I was young. And I didn't have a real spiritual legacy. But as God has moved in my life, and He's used people like both Pastor Adamses and New Testament and people in my life, and He's worked through me, Denver Ayers has been a part of seeing marriages restored, people saved, lives transformed, people out of the gutter. I mean, I have seen so many miracles. I can take credit for nothing, but wherever I've been, God has used me to do wonderful things, because I understand I'm a sinner saved by grace. And anybody I minister to, I'm going to be real and I'm going to be transparent with them. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy. Remember, you minister grace. Remember the platform you are to minister from. Not from your knowledge, not from your goodwill, but from understanding how low you are and how great Christ is. And then you are to understand the word, minister the word, grab others, train them, equip them to go, and then they'll equip others to go, and we go out and we minister the power of the word. But here's the second thing tonight. Not only was Timothy to be a servant, he was to be a soldier. I mean, let's just say hallelujah right now. Everybody say hallelujah. On three. One, two, three. Hallelujah. A soldier. Let me give you a couple things. Look at verses 3 and 4 in our text. Here's what it says. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that it warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I want to tell you something right now. If you are a Christian, if you have received the forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus Christ and His warfare here on earth, and He lived the perfect life we can never live, and you believe He conquered death in the grave, and He sits at the right hand of the Father, and if you believe He's not just sitting there, but He's interceding for you, and that you can come to the Lord with boldness at the throne, and He will intercede for you to the Father, and there's nothing you can't say to Jesus that He won't receive you and hear you and give. If you believe that, raise your right hand. Amen. And by raising your right hand, you're admitting you are a soldier for Jesus. Jesus Christ. Amen. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Now, having served in the military, I appreciate military terminology. Amen. I do. Soldiers have got to make it through basic training. We do. We had to get through basic training. But when I went through basic training, I want you to see the correlation with Scripture here tonight. As Paul is using this terminology with Timothy, he got it. He understood it. As I went to basic training, it didn't end in there. I didn't get through basic and they say, you're done, it's over. No, they put me on in a tech school. That's to learn my specialty. And let me tell you something about specialty training. It never ends. Like they teach me to fire a weapon, 6 months later, I'm going back through training, learning how to fire a weapon. I already know how to do that, but you'll be better. And I had to do it every 6 months. And I'm learning something new constantly. And I got so tired of it. But the end product is the finest fighting, peacekeeping force the world has ever seen. And every one of us tonight is thankful for that, are we not? We're grateful for the fact that we have a great military because they go through basic, they get in training, they never quit ceasing to train for the whatever possibility may come up, they train for it. And Paul is telling Timothy, you are to train, you are to rightly divide the word of truth so that no matter what happens, no matter how crazy culture gets, when the unexpected happens, you will know how to respond with the word of God through grace. But I believe the problem that we have in our culture is that we get to a point where we can come to church and sit and soak and hit and miss, and we're not prepared for what's taking place. A good soldier knows that his life is expendable for his brothers and sisters in arms. In fact, the word translated in our text, endure hardness, means literally to suffer evil, to suffer trouble, to endure affliction. That's what it means. A good soldier will suffer and lay down his life and is ready at any moment. And Paul is saying, you see that, Timothy? You see what's going on in the military? We are so... I'm spitting everywhere. My mouth is dry. I'm sorry. Just ignore it, okay? You're not safe, but just endure. Amen. We have to understand. Saint Paul is telling young Timothy that what we see in our military force, what we see in training, what we appreciate the benefits of a fighting force, Christians are to be so much more ready because we're so much more equipped. We don't need nuclear weapons. We have the blood and the power of an Almighty God going through us in the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're equipped unto every good work. If you enlist in the military and your desire is for self-preservation, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. But I want to get real with you tonight. As Christians, my default mode when things are going well is to self-preserve. To maybe sink back and let others do the work. To maybe get back and say, hey, I'm going to support Steve and his beautiful wife and their ministry, but forget that I am called also. I am a missionary of equal standing and of equal calling as our brother who we send. And we want to be safe and we don't want to be harmed. What would our country be like if that was the mindset of our soldiers? I think this is an epidemic in the house of God. I want to tell you this, that an ordinary citizen is a free agent. Okay? Everybody agree? Nod your heads, right? If you're a ordinary citizen, I want you to know that you can make your own decisions. You can tie up your time as you want to. It's totally up to you. Do what you want. There are no obligations. You are a great man. He's a great man. He's a great man. Amen. A warrior. An ordinary citizen can make his own decisions. He can do what he wants with his time. He can become involved in anything he wants to. That's what a citizen can do. A free citizen can do whatever they want. Okay? We get that, right? But a soldier, on the other hand, he cannot entangle himself in anything right, in anything that might interfere with his duty. And I want to submit to you tonight that as Paul was telling Timothy, he's telling us that we are soldiers. And we, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, even though you may not be one of the pastors, or you may not even be a Sunday school teacher, you're just sitting and you say, I just like to attend, but I love Jesus Christ. Yes, I have asked him, and he definitely indeed has forgiven me. Let me tell you something right now. You've enlisted. You no longer serve yourself. You serve an almighty God. You've given your life freely. Just as I went to MEPS and raised my right hand and made an oath, I did it of my own free accord. But the moment I did it and put my hand down, there was no do-overs. I couldn't say, I take it back. They said, you take it back. You go to jail. And as in this soldiers, you're soldiers. The a military member has violated Article 87 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice if he or she is ordered to be on a ship or an aircraft or deploy with the unit on a certain date and time and then fails to show up. It doesn't matter if the member failed to show up through intention or because of neglect. I got in an accident, I couldn't make it. That doesn't matter. But it is required that the member knew about the movement. He had to know about the movement. We all know tonight about the movement, don't we? We understand what God is telling us in His Word. We understand what He is saying to us. It's clear to us. Now, there is no excuse for not showing up. None whatsoever. Did you know that desertion can result in the death penalty? It's true. The maximum punishment for desertion during time of war is death. Now, I don't know, but I'm going to go on a limb, and you might dispute with me theologically, but I might just go on a limb and say this. If you're ashamed of him and fail to show up, he'll be ashamed of you when you stand before his Father. I don't believe a true soldier is ashamed. He battles fear, and we all battle fear, and we battle shame, and we battle a lot of things. But we bow our knee to one who is greater than all our deficiencies. Amen? There is nothing you can do to make God love you any less than He already does. And I like to clarify that a little more. There is nothing you can do, good or bad, to make God love you any more than He already does. We're battling from a platform of victory, of complete love of the Father. Nothing we do hinders His grace and His mercy and His goodwill for our life to fulfill the mission in which He has called each and every one of us to do. And that leads me to my third thing, and that is this. That is, Timothy was to have success. You know, the reality is that God wants us to be successful. So all God's people say, amen! We're called to be successful. I'm so thankful God's like, hey, I've called you, and there's a good chance you're going to fail, and there's a good chance you're going to be successful. I'm not sure what it's going to be. God says every one of us is called to success. I'll give you an example. Look at verse 5. If any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So the word translated strive for masteries, it comes from the Greek word that gives us the English word for athlete. As athletes, we strive. So like Timothy, we're already in the ring. I think I've made that clear. Amen? We're in the ring. It's too late to back out, so we might as well go out swinging. Hallelujah? And I'm preaching in my church through 2 Corinthians, and I love that verse. It says they're beating the air. I think some of us are sitting there beating the air because we don't understand what we've been called to do. We've been called to have victory. God has equipped us. And victory has a lot. I don't have a time tonight, but victory has a lot of different things. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to suffer, does it? In fact, that's my final point, and that's this. Timothy was called to suffer. We're called to suffer. I'm called to suffer. Can we just have a little therapy session right now? Let's say this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I'm called to suffer. Look at verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 2. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. The Bible says that daily we've got to pick up our cross. we've got to put on the spiritual armor. I understand that's not popular preaching. But I also want you to know this. Jesus told his disciples, and I'm just going to paraphrase this real quick. He told his disciples, he says, you know, don't marvel when you're doing what's right and when you're completely, I'm paraphrasing, when you're completely successful in what I've called you to do. Don't marvel when the world persecutes you. They may kill you. They may stone you. They may ridicule you. You may lose a spouse. You may lose a family member relationally because of your stand for Christ. But don't you waver and don't you flinch. That's success. That's victory. And if you can serve and have the support of your family, then man, praise God. But our hope is not what lies in this life. Our hope is in what lies ahead, the life to come. Is that not our great hope, the return of Christ, and what awaits us? You better believe it. So Paul says in verse 9, the word of God is not bound. Paul understood that our suffering was for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. What a great God we serve. I hope you're excited about your faith tonight. Let me read this to you. Several things like this have circulated, but no power on earth or in hell can shackle the word of God. Sometimes God's servants are stifled or even silenced in death, but God's word still rings out. Diocletian made a mighty effort to destroy every Bible in the empire, but he failed. Voltaire once declared that he would bury the Bible. Okay. But not long afterward, Voltaire died, and he was buried. And his house was purchased by the Geneva Bible Society and used as a place for storing Bibles. And through the centuries, the papacy fought fiercely to keep the Bible from the people. The early translators and reformers paid a high price for the courage in printing and promoting the scriptures. They were imprisoned, maligned, persecuted. Check this out. Filleted. And even burned at the stake. However, Rome fought in vain. The Word of God triumphed. The Bible is the world's bestseller and is now published in thousands of tongues and all kinds of versions. Hallelujah. We owe it to Jesus Christ and we owe it to the founding fathers, not of America, but those who paid the price for us to get the Word, who've laid down the life of dads and moms and even allowed their kids to be beaten and bruised and killed for the sake of the gospel. If we look at Jesus Christ, by all worldly standards, what a colossal failure. He comes and proclaims himself as God. He's hung on a dirty, rotten, nasty cross reserved for criminals. But we understand that was ultimate victory. Amen? And if we're not suffering for the cause of Christ, something's wrong. And I'll tell you why. Because you know as well as I do, things are changing really, really fast. And if this culture is turning this fast, if we're not standing and suffering, I wonder if maybe, even ignorantly, if we're not a little bit too wrapped up in the culture and we've allowed ourselves to be drug in unawares. And we need to confess that sin and say, God, every ounce of my being belongs to you. What can I do to serve you? Amen.
We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.